Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, March 23rd, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is Tim, Work From Home Gettys. Tim, how's it going?
It's going well, man. It's week two of working from home officially.
It is.
As of today. And yeah. I feel like we've ironed out the kinks. You know, we got fun little borders now. Look at this.
Yeah, it's a fun time. We got lower thirds. Look at that.
Wow, man.
Wow. Wow.
Big Don Coelho making shit happen.
Almost the right name.
Oh, what happened?
I hit Greg and Bless, not Bless.
Oh.
Well, here we are. Now it looks good.
It's okay. People say I look a lot like Greg, and so, you know, it happens.
I get the confusion.
Tim, how's your weekend gone?
My weekend was good, man. It was real good. I actually finally convinced Gia to watch Code Geass, one of my favorite
movies
of all time. We're 13 episodes in.
Whoa.
And she's enjoying it, I would say, overall. The show doesn't hold up entirely. The plot does, the characters do, the dialogue not so much. First off, the show's horny as fuck. Second off, the show, it's too anime for its own good in terms of the back and forth dialogue where you're like, no one would ever talk that way. But man, it is quite the show, and I'm happy that she's excited enough to watch it that she keeps bringing up, like, oh, let's watch just a couple more today. I'm like, yes.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Kev, were you about to say something?
I was about to be like, oh, there's no way it doesn't hold up. And then he said, like, the dialogue's, like, can't be shit. And it's like, oh, no, that's a fact. The dialogue is not good.
Yeah. But otherwise, oh, my God.
Fun stuff.
Phenomenal
show.
Great
story.
Does Gia have, like, an anime history at all?
She has watched Death Note. That's it. She loved Death Note.
Death Note,
when you boil it down, is really just two people talking back and forth. There's little action in that show. And so, like, a show with, like, giant mechs and stuff, she's like, Tim, I don't know about this. And I'm like, just watch, man. Just watch. And she's enjoying it.
Dude, this weekend, I've been playing Animal Crossing. And it's my first Animal Crossing experience.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you, man, I got to this island. I arrived and the first person I met, I don't even know if I can call him a person. First, like, creature I met was this dude named Tom Nook.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I got there, he's like, yo, you owe me some bells. And I was like, I just got here. I don't even know how I owe you anything. And that's just been the game now. This has been me picking up weeds. I got nooked, apparently. And it's just me, like, doing chores for a good 3 days. And it's been a great 3 days, honestly.
Yeah. What's your island name?
It's called Green Hill.
Okay. Yeah. I'm liking it.
It's called Green Hill. And there's a Kevin there, which is awesome. He was the first person to greet me. It was great.
No, it's you alone on an island with Tom Nook and Kevin.
Yes.
Les, I just want to tell you right now, it's so nice that we're still friends at this moment. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. What does that mean?
I don't know, man. All these idiots are idiots. You know what I mean? But you're still cool right now.
I hate how you keep saying right now.
It's one of those things.
Yeah,
that, you know,
it can change at
any
moment.
Not everything lasts, you know? And I'm just saying, Kevin is waiting on me.
Kevin is waiting on me to turn on him, and I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to turn on Kevin.
That's what I like.
I feel like everybody thinks I'm going
to
turn on Kevin, but I don't know. So far, me and Kevin, we're like Ratchet and Clank before they got, like, combative with each other.
Which happened. Wait, okay, so it's not like Ratchet and Clank.
But they end up being friends, right?
They ended up being friends towards the end of the game.
But they had a moment of peril between the two of them. But wait, which one's Ratchet?
Yeah, which one's Ratchet?
Between me and Kevin? Oh, I'm Ratchet. Kevin's
This guy gets it. I like this kid.
Kevin's definitely Clank. Are you kidding me?
You just moved up a couple spots.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Today's stories include a Half-Life Alyx review roundup, Animal Crossing sales, GameStop closing its doors, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free along with the exclusive daily post-show. Now it's time for some housekeeping. Our Half-Life Alyx review episode of Gamescast is live, I believe, right now. I've not checked.
Right now, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. I checked. It is there. Greg Miller, the return of Danny O'Dwyer. Greg Miller's Irish Cream.
Whoa.
It's great.
I can't wait to watch it. That's one that I'm really anticipating because one, I love Daniel Dwyer, but then two, these Half-Life Alyx reviews, man.
Reviewing a Half-Life game. What world are we in right now that we're all forced to work from home and a Half-Life game just came out? Two things it's I never crazy. Thought would actually happen. And here
it's
we are.
It's crazy.
It really man.
Go check that out. It's either on it's on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or on your Gamescast podcast feed. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, Momo, Drew Gardner, Blackjack, and the Kind of Funny Destiny 2 clan. Today, we're brought to you by Quip and ExpressVPN, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today.
A baker's dozen.
And here's the thing. Thank you, Kevin. Here's the thing. I'm going to start off with this Half-Life Alyx review
Let's
roundup.
Let's do it, man.
Because
I'm really Half-Life-y.
It's crazy out there, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Right now on Metacritic, as of 10:15 a.m., and also I should say that Greg Miller has been building this review roundup as the show started because the embargo lifted 15 minutes ago. And so I'm jumping into this blind. But right now the Metacritic is sitting at 93.
There you go.
93. IGN gave it a 10 out of 10.
Dan Stapleton.
Dan Stapleton says, back when VR first became a real thing and we all started spitballing which game worlds we'd most like to be fully immersed in, Half-Life topped my list, tied with BioShock. It took a few years, but Half-Life Alyx has more than realized that potential. With it, Valve has set a new bar for VR in interactivity, detail, and level design, showing what can happen when a world-class developer goes all in on the new frontier of technology. In a lot of ways, it feels like a game from the future, and one that the rest of VR gaming will likely take a good long while to match, much less surpass. GameSpot gave it a 9. The homie Michael Hyam wrote, "Yes, this game is somewhat of a companion piece to two mainline Half-Life games, taking place 5 years before Half-Life 2, but that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. Disappointment you may have felt in its 13-year hiatus will feel like water under the bridge, and in a way have played into just how powerful Half-Life Alyx turned out to be. The names, the faces, the iconic objects, and the iconic objects that have become synonymous with Half-Life have their specific place, and if you weren't aware previously, you'll see just how important Alyx Vance, the series' most infallible personality, has been the entire time. Not only has Half-Life Alyx made good on its shift to VR, it has elevated many of the aspects we've come to love about Half-Life games. It may not be as bombastic as previous games, but the intimacy of VR brings you closer to a world you might have thought you knew over the past 22 years. Even when familiarity starts to settle in, its gameplay systems still shine as a cohesive whole. And as it concludes, Half-Life Alyx hits you with something unforgettable, transcending VR tropes for one of gaming's greatest moments. Jesus Christ, that's high praise.
Yeah, geez. And then Greg Miller was saying something similar. I saw
really?
That he put out. He was saying that it's an amazing game and that there's one level in particular that's one of the greatest levels he's ever played in a video game.
Wow. Game Informer gives it a 9. This comes from Leo Vader. He writes, "Half-Life Alyx is a must-play game worthy of the series' legacy. Despite some puzzles and encounters that feel like filler, the overall experience is strong. The stunning set pieces, beautiful world, and smart writing stand out no matter the medium and mark a return to form for Valve. If you're waiting for a killer app before you made the investment into virtual reality, this is it." And then lastly, Polygon recommends it and says, "Half-Life Alyx is the best that VR and Valve have to offer." That's very high praise coming from all these reviews. Tim, does this get you hyped? Does this sell you on Half-Life Alyx?
So here's the thing. Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Because I am not the biggest Half-Life guy. It's not to say that they're not great games. It's just that it's kind of a blind spot for me where I played both Half-Life 1 and 2. I beat both Half-Life 1 and 2, but I don't remember them. It was like a fleeting thing. I remember It was forever ago. I played Half-Life 1 at a friend's house. Like, I think I played with them. So it's like, I don't really have this like tied experience to the franchise. And on top of that, like, VR hasn't really grabbed me. Like, I love things like Beat Saber and Super Hot, where it's like, or even like the Batman VR experience, right? Like, I like the experiences of it, but I haven't really been sold on the Blood and Truths and stuff like that you guys have been playing. And a lot of that just has to do with, I don't have a PSVR. I don't have any VR system. So it's like I'm not committing to the ecosystem fully. I'm kind of just dabbling here and there. This seems like the type of jump in the deep end experience that VR has needed for forever. And I can't believe that it's a Half-Life game that is going to be that. But I'm really interested in how this fares over time. Like, I wonder if people are going to look back on this as a classic, or if it's just going to be, oh, it was a 10 for the time.
That makes sense. Yeah, and I wonder how this then influences the future of VR, because that's been a big thing for me in Half-Life, where I'm like in recent episodes of KFGD, we've had conversations about what a 10 out of 10 first person shooter looks like in 2020, and is there a way you can make a 10 out of 10 video game or 10 out of 10 first person shooter where
interesting
this genre has kind of gone through so much and evolved so much. Like, Doom Eternal is probably the best first person shooter I played this generation for me, and I still probably wouldn't give it a 10 out of 10. Like, it's so hard for me to imagine a game breaking ground in this genre the way that we've seen games break ground a while ago, right? Both Half-Life and Half-Life 2 broke ground in very different ways. And so for Half-Life Alyx to come out, you kind of expect similar things, and to see it getting a 10 from IGN, a 9 from GameSpot, a 9 from Game Informer. I believe Daniel Dwyer in the Gamescast review said that it's a Game of the Year contender. Like, that's crazy to me, and it has me very excited to actually check it out. I know Greg at this point has finished playing it, and so I might see if I can borrow his index. But that's just that. It's super crazy to me, but super, super awesome to see. And I think it throws like a wrench in the whole Game of the Year conversation.
Absolutely. Because, it's early title. Yeah. It's beginning, man. Like, we've been talking, like, fantasizing about this day for so long. This is the launch period. I mean, I guess March 20th was the launch of the games of 2020 with Doom, with Animal Crossing, with Half-Life. Like, Half-Life actually hit its date. Like, can we just appreciate that for a second?
Oh, yeah.
It did not get delayed. It was announced for coming in March. It got a March date, and it hit that date. That's insane to me.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. I wonder how much this then goes on to sell VR units. Like, there's a lot of questions around, like, what is this game going to do for VR? And I think, like, in a lot of ways, this game is probably going to be make or break for VR. In the sense that, like, this game is probably for all intents and purposes like a must-have title, right? Like, it's Half-Life. Two, it's excellent Half-Life, which are things that people have been clamoring for since Half-Life 2 Episode 2. And so, like, I wonder how many VR units this sells. I wonder if PSVR has to do anything to respond to this, or like if they're able to get Half-Life Alyx on that platform also, because the earlier Half-Life games have been on console.
That's the hope, right? Like, I am not too familiar with all the licensing and holdups of this. I know that they're trying to push the index, which makes a lot of sense. But at what point do they decide that this is for the betterment of VR and for the betterment of the index itself, that we need this game to be on every single VR platform available? You know, like, I feel like this needs to be on Oculus at the very least, to be able to get it to that broader audience, right?
Yeah. I don't know much about Oculus, but and this is probably a question for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Can Oculus play games off the Steam store? Because I think you might be able to play this game on Oculus already if that's the case.
Oh, okay, yeah. The chat's saying it is on Oculus.
Yeah, because this game
is the other one then. What's it not?
It's on Steam, so anything that has compatibility with Steam, you should be able to use it on. But I just don't know what has compatibility with what. And so Vive is the other one. But I think you might be able to play it on Vive. Like, as far as I know, PSVR might be the only like major one that you can't play it on because of that compatibility with Steam. And I wonder also, like, technically, like, can you make this game work on PSVR with a controller with the power of PlayStation? Like, I really don't know if that's a thing you
never can underestimate do. The power of PlayStation, bless.
That's true. You should never underestimate the power of PlayStation. I kind of asked this before, but like for you, is this going to inspire you to get VR?
Here's the thing. This is the most interested I've ever been in getting my hands on someone else's VR. Like, it's not making me want to buy it, but I'm like, I do want to borrow someone's, right?
Yeah.
So like that's at least a step, but I feel like that's an important step, right? That's that step of getting in, getting that experience, being like, all right, you know what? I need to support this so we get more experiences like this. Because if people don't support this game, we're not going to get these type of VR titles again.
You know?
Like, this is undeniably the biggest budget VR title we've ever seen. Right?
So, like, yeah, I mean, for sure. 100%, yeah. I wonder, on PS I Love You, like, in the first few episodes, me and Greg talked a lot about dreams. And how do you sell dreams to a mainstream audience? How do you, like, what's the position that Sony Marketing is in that they want to sell this game? I wonder if Valve is having similar issues. Not in the sense that people won't understand what Half-Life Alyx is, because it's very easy to understand. It's a first-person shooter taking place in VR. We know what Half-Life is. We know what VR is. Cool. But VR is still in a place where it's not broken through in a mainstream... Like, everybody knows what VR is. VR has kind of broken through in a mainstream way, but not in the way that everybody owns VR or everybody feels like they should have VR in the living room. I wonder what the conversation is over at Valve in terms of marketing this game. Like, are commercials enough? Like, what do honestly, they do?
Like, the way I see it is, I think that this game is marketing for the Index, right? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like there must have been a conversation, must have been a decision a long time ago that they're like, no, we're doing this. Like, we need to make this game to sell the Index, to sell the idea of VR to the people that might be, you know, on the edge of it, or even the people that are like, hey, I'm a Half-Life fan. Like, I feel like this is speaking directly to the PC gamers that have no interest in VR. And they're like, well, now I fucking have to, you know?
Yeah.
And especially it being good, it being great, it being a masterpiece. It's like, this is kind of a brilliant move of using this to sell indexes, to get indexes in people's homes, because then they have them, then they're going to want to be in that ecosystem and support that ecosystem, right? So it's like, how do you market this game? I think they've already done it. Get tens, make a good game. I don't think that you can sell Half-Life any more than that. And I feel like that's the weird part about this, is that I do think that there is a ceiling to the success of this game. But
yeah,
I think that what Valve's looking at as success for this isn't bazillions of copies sold. I think it's getting enough indexes in homes.
Yeah, I agree. Do you feel like Half-Life Alyx then means anything for Half-Life 3? Or do we have to wait and see on sales? Like, to what you just said, right? Like, there is a sales ceiling for Half-Life Alyx. Mm-hmm. But do you think that this game coming out and getting tens and getting nines and being excellently received is going to do anything for Half-Life 3 coming out?
That's hard. My gut says no. Mm-hmm. I think that Half-Life 3 exists totally separate from this. At what level of development is it? Are we ever actually going to see it? Those are other questions.
I feel like we have to see it at this point.
They've been quiet for a long time, and they're building something here, right? Like, there's some plan, there's something going on. But I don't know. Like, this is a big move. Like, when we first saw this game, it was like, what the fuck? Like, even now, I'm like looking at videos of this. How is this real? Like, how is this a VR game? Dude, it looks so good.
There's like one video who I think Rami Ismail was the one that tweeted it, of somebody, you know how you have like the gravity hands in Half-Life Alyx? Somebody's like holding a chair and there's one of the face crawler things, and like they hold the chair up and then they use the gravity hand, I guess, to draw the face eater, face hugger, I think is what it's called, to the chair that's in their hand, and then they like throw it out the window. Like the kind of things that people are doing in this game seem really cool and really technical in a way that really makes me want to try it out, because it just looks impressive. But I mean, to your point also about Half-Life 3, I think Half-Life Alyx to me is them speaking out loud. I feel like, to me, it's very hard for me to grasp the idea that this game can exist and they're not then going to plan Half-Life 3, because that's almost at that point, it's like, what are you doing? Like, just put the game out. I know Half-Life Alyx is coming out to sell VR for sure. That's the goal. That's the plan. But it's such a specific plan that invokes the thought in literally everyone of, all right, so Half-Life 3 is next, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's going to be the next step. I wonder, though, what that means for them. I wonder if I mean, I wonder if this game doing so well in VR then means Half-Life 3 is a VR game.
Well, so here's, I don't think so, but I feel like, again, looking at the reviews of this game and the already critical success of this game, I feel like they, Valve's not looking at this as if it's not Half-Life 3. They're not looking at it as if it's like a lesser than product. They are looking at this as yeah. And like spinoff is a weird thing because I feel like it has a derogatory like sense to it just
yeah.
by default. But I feel like they're looking at this as if it is a proper Half-Life title, right? Not yeah. It's not Half-Life 3, but they are looking at it as if it's as important as Birth by Sleep is to Kingdom Hearts, even though it doesn't have a number after it.
Yeah, it's almost similar to how, like, for Final Fantasy, for example, Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming out, and that's not necessarily Final Fantasy 16, but Square Enix is still treating Final Fantasy VII like it is, like, a full
flagship
release.
Title.
Yeah, now, flagship title.
Here's how I do think that Half-Life Alyx might affect Half-Life 3. I feel like if this is a major success, I don't think that it means Half-Life 3 is going to be in VR. What I do think is that, because I feel like at some point, unless everybody just goes all in on this and like this is the future, which I don't really see happening, they're going to want Half-Life 3 to be the more traditional experience. I feel like it'll push Half-Life 3 even further away to make room for Portal VR.
Half-Life Alyx.
Portal VR. Like work on all those other titles and put them into VR if this succeeds in getting indexes in people's houses.
See, I think Half-Life Alyx 2 is more likely, just in the sense that I've watched interviews in which they've talked about stuff like Portal and the whole, like they've tried to figure out Portal in VR, but the whole nature of Portal being that you're flinging yourself around and like jumping into portals and doing the thing where like you're in an infinite loop, they can't figure that out in VR. Maybe they'll figure out a solution to it. Maybe they'll limit it in certain ways, but I could see a future where we get Half-Life Alyx 2 for VR and then get Half-Life 3 for just regular PC or just regular on Steam. But my thing is, where Half-Life Alyx is definitely being Half-Life Alyx's purpose is definitely to sell VR. I wonder if Valve sees value in a Half-Life 3 as just a regular game. Like Half-Life 3 would definitely sell VR. Half-Life 3 on Steam, though, it's like people already have Steam. What is the purpose there? Is it just at that point just to put out an amazing game?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what's up, Kev? Difficult. You were saying something. Kev,
sorry, yeah, I was saying, Bless, just do you like what's the game we were just talking about? The
Half-Life?
No, the other one, the with the portals.
Portal. Yeah. Oh yeah, I love Portal. Yeah.
Can you imagine if it was you were that girl and you're just trying to like move the companion cube along? So like you're just moving from place to place and you're trying to set up the thing to bring the companion cube with you. I think
that could be really fun. Cool.
I think that could be done in VR too. Where that like alleviates the problem of
you flinging around.
Or, yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah, I think that'd be cool. And I think that's the type of solution they would have to figure out, right? Mm-hmm. Is maybe you make Portal about transferring companion cube around the facility as opposed to like flinging yourself around. Either way, I'm really excited about the future of Half-Life. I'm excited about the future of Valve games because Valve puts out incredible games. And overall, yeah, like good work to Valve and the Half-Life team.
Yeah,
you killed
Congrats
it.
To them.
You did it.
They did it.
Number two, Animal Crossing New Horizons smashes sales records in the UK. This comes from Christopher Dring over at GamesIndustry.biz. He writes, Animal Crossing New Horizons has become a major hit in the UK. Nintendo's critically acclaimed sequel has sold more copies in its first week on sale than the launch sales of all previous Animal Crossing games combined, including the spin-offs. The launch is 3.5 times bigger than the last game in the series, 2013's Animal Crossing New Leaf, on Nintendo 3DS, which was the previous biggest launch for the series. It is also the biggest single game launch on Nintendo Switch since the console came out, although if you combine the sales of Pokemon Sword and Shield together, those games enjoyed a bigger first week. This only factors in physical sales. It does not include digital download numbers, which may have been higher than than usual considering the concerns around COVID-19 virus that has seen the UK government recommend that citizens stay indoors. Nintendo does not share digital download data externally. And here's the top 10 for the week ending in March 21st for the UK, provided by GFK. Right. So I'm going to start at number 10. And number 10 is Red Dead Redemption 2. Number 9 is Crash Team Racing Nitro Fuel.
Let's fucking go, baby.
At number 8 is Forza Horizon 4. At number 7, Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. Let's
go, baby.
What is happening? At number 6 is Grand Theft Auto 5. At number 5 is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. At number 4, FIFA 20. At number 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Number 2, Doom Eternal. And at number 1 is Animal Crossing New Horizons. Tim,
you'll love this to all see makes it, sense. Man. You'll love to see you'd it. It all adds it. Up. It all makes sense. But, you know, this is kind of, at this point, just the Nintendo Switch has proven that it is the return of Nintendo. You know, at this point, it's that's not even an interesting thing to say. We all know that. But
yeah,
what I do love is that they've consistently now taken every single one of their franchises. Well, so far, there's many left, F-Zero. But they've taken their franchises, and no matter what's happened to those franchises before, they put them out correct on the Switch, and they see the results of that, right? Luigi's Mansion hit, Animal Crossing hit, obviously, Breath of the Wild, Mario Odyssey, Smash Brothers. Like, they really have done a great job of putting out the right games at the right time, and even smaller franchises like Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing, they're now seeing the fruits of that labor kind of come into the success story that is the Nintendo Switch. By having this many Switches in the wild, having this many Nintendo Switch Lights in the wild, it set Animal Crossing up for the biggest success possible. Obviously, yeah, all the COVID-19 stuff as well, I think, is adding to it a little bit. I think there are people playing this that wouldn't necessarily have picked it up, like Andy Cortez is a perfect example. I think that he's only playing it because he has nothing else to do.
Yeah, I mean, same with me. I've been playing it because I'm like, well, I have all this time for games now, and it's been the perfect time waster. And like, it's weirdly just a positive game, despite me being in debt to Tom Nook, who keeps finding ways to just pull me back in. Every time I get out of debt, Tom Nook's like, "Come back, you bitch," and like has me paying for like whatever tent or house. But like, I was telling this to a friend, right? That like, last week I felt kind of stressed with the whole like work from home thing and the whole stay in shelter thing. Like, at certain points I was just like out, like I was very frustrated by it, felt kind of stressed, felt like kind of anger by it. The last 3 days I've been playing Animal Crossing, dude. I've been mad mellow. Like, it's
there
been great,
you go, man. Get
like it's day 9 or 10 and I'm thriving, and I blame Animal Crossing,
dude. I mean, so, that's the thing out. Like, I feel this is kind of the perfect storm for this game, right? Like, it's funny that I actually think that it coming out on the same day as Doom helped it. Like, I think that all the memes and all of the, you know, the synergy between the Doom fan base and the Animal Crossing fan base, like, I feel like it was just yet another example of opening the door to people playing this game that wouldn't typically ever give it a shot. And Nintendo Switch has been doing that, right? Like, how many people played Fire Emblem for the first time ever with three houses? You know, how many people were like, you know what? I'm going to give Pokemon a shot, because I have a Switch and I, you know, maybe didn't have a 3DS or wasn't interested before, but like, because of the release schedule, I'm going to give it a shot now. It's like Greg Miller played Pokemon last year, right? Like, that to me is a perfect example of what I'm saying. It's like, there's been a Pokemon almost every year for 2 decades at this point, but he played that one. That's because of the Switch, right? And I feel like Animal Crossing is going to do that 10 times the amount that Pokemon did, because so many people already played Pokemon.
Yeah, my favorite tweet from this last weekend was a tweet from at @shenanigansen, and they tweeted, "Doom Twitter, take your time, have fun finding Easter eggs, enjoy the game at your own pace. Animal Crossing Twitter. This dude doesn't even have 100 trillion bells yet. This dude hasn't even reconstructed the Tower of Babel and ascended to kill God." Like, it's like Jesus. It's like a weird dichotomy between like the Doom Eternal fan base being like mad, like, you know, like, supportive and laid back, in the Animal Crossing fan base. I look around at my friends, everybody has a mansion, and I'm here still in a tent feeling bad about myself.
Dude, Joey got a Godzilla. I don't know what the fuck she did. Like, I'm not familiar enough with this game to understand how that even happens, but like, Joey has a Godzilla and people are jealous about it. You know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
She has this giant ass Godzilla on her island and it's just chilling.
I'm so confused. I thought you could just get fish. I didn't realize you had dinosaurs you can get.
Dude, yeah, I'm gonna try to find
you. Let you see it. Me and Greg were talking about this on Friday, and I want to get your opinion. A question wrote in on Friday asking about whether or not Animal Crossing might become the fastest selling Switch game, and that then evolved to a whole conversation about where we think Animal Crossing might end up in terms of the top selling Switch games. And for me, I had Animal Crossing sitting at, I think, like number like 7, right? Because number 1 is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Number 2, Smash Brothers Ultimate. Number 3, Mario Odyssey. Number 4, Zelda Breath of the Wild. Number 5, Pokemon Sword and Shield. And then number 6 is Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu, and Eevee. I actually had it I had it above Pokemon Let's Go, Pikachu, and Eevee.
Yeah.
I can't find it. Yeah, the link is in the doc if you want to see like the sales, because like Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee is at 11.76 million and then above it is Pokemon Sword and Shield at 16.6 million.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't
what
think this
fuck?
Is Joey's like I think people maybe these are people responding to Joey, but yeah,
got it.
Big old
that's crazy.
They got a Godzilla. Bless you, you gonna get a Godzilla.
I just might, man. I'm spending a lot of time playing this game.
Here's the thing, dude. I believe we'll you see. Can do it. I just want to make that absolutely clear to everyone.
See, here's the thing. People, I don't know how people are doing the things that they're doing, because I'm on day 3 or 4 right now, and I am just now getting a house. Because, like, you have to wait for a certain amount of time for certain things to happen. Bless and so you have to wait a day bless. For your
don't,
museum to happen.
Don't worry about these guys. They're probably cheating. You're doing it the right way, and I respect
no, they're 100%
you.
Cheating, which is what I want. Like, can you get a Godzilla on day 2? It's a question that I don't have an answer
these
to.
Are the hard-hitting questions here. So I'm trying to find out how many copies of Animal Crossing New Leaf were sold, because that was the
we
last
talked about
one.
This on Friday. I want to say like around 13 million, but I'm not sure.
Let's see. I am having a hard time finding this.
Yeah, I don't know where Greg was the one who I think got it last time. I don't know where he got it from.
Okay. Yeah. 12.45 million. So, okay.
Okay.
Cool. So then taking that, applying it to the switchification of things. Also keeping in mind that was at, you know, later in the, well, it was healthily into the 3DS's life. And there was a lot of 3DS's out there too. I don't know. It's tough because I can't see it doing more than Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Well, Pokemon Sword and Shield is still going to rise is the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that game is going to make its way up to number 1 probably.
I think I'm with you. It'll be right above Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, shout out to Animal Crossing for killing it. Jacob Meyer, aka YKM, writes in and says, "Hey there, insert hosts. Crossing my fingers for Nick to host this one or to host this one day. Anyway, my question is simple: How much money is Nintendo making right now? I know two friends who have bought a Switch mainly for Animal Crossing, and two other friends who want to buy one but can't because the non-light Switches are sold out. So either Nintendo doesn't have that many Switches in the wild, or they're selling like Milk Mommy branded hotcakes."
Yeah.
Oh God, that's so gross.
That is disgusting. Disgusting.
I mean, dude, we've seen this happen many times with Nintendo. They have a strategy in place for how much hardware they actually have on shelves. And when things get in the way of that, everything gets thrown to hell and everything sells out everywhere. And I'm not surprised that we'd be seeing that now with so many people cooped up in the house. I'm sure there are many families buying multiple Switches to keep multiple little hellions quiet.
I'm sure manufacturing probably comes into play somewhere. I don't know if that would hit yet, but you know, maybe that's also an effect that's having. And yeah, like that combined with Animal Crossing coming out, like that, it makes total sense that Switches, especially Switch lights are selling out. And so yeah, like I can't speak to like how much the Switch is selling. Like, and like removed from the context of what's going on right now, but I imagine like Animal Crossing probably sells quite a few Switches.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Number 3, GameStop finally closes stores to customers. This comes from Jason Schreier at Kotaku. GameStop will close all of its stores stores to customers starting tomorrow. And I should point out that this is written, I think, like Saturday. Switching to a delivery at the door service for locations that remain open. Company CEO George Sherman said in a letter to employees today that was obtained by Kotaku. Shoppers will be able to order games online by using the GameStop app or with QR codes at stores. they can then pick the games up curbside at stores that remain open through the coronavirus pandemic. Some states like California and Nevada have forced the struggling retailer to shut down its locations entirely, despite GameStop's protests. Sherman also said in the letter that GameStop will be giving 80 hours of extra paid time off to those employees at closed or closing stores who are eligible for it, and 2 extra weeks of pay to those who aren't. The CEO emphasized that any employees who do not feel comfortable going to work at stores doing delivery should tell their supervisors accordingly. Quote, "We respect that everyone has personal situations and preferences, so your decision will not impact your position with the company," Sherman wrote. This news comes in the wake of a week full of confounding moves for the retailer, which has been struggling financially over the past 3 years as customers moved to digital stores. As the United States intensified its response to the pandemic, GameStop was slow to react. First, employees complained that GameStop did not adequately supply them with cleaning and sanitizing supplies. And as states began shutting down businesses in hopes of mitigating the spread of the virus, the retailer told employees to stay open regardless, claiming it was, quote, essential retail. Tim, have you been following all this GameStop business?
Yes, I have. I've also been following Gary Whitta on Twitter during all this business. And my God, that man has thoughts.
Oh, man.
He's angry. He's real angry. For good reason. You know, obviously, yeah. This is the type of thing we're in such a crazy time. And I feel that leadership needs to step up and make sure that there are plans in place to make sure that the situation's handled as best as possible.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's a little late, but it's appreciated. At least they're making these moves. This is very similar to what Best Buy and other similar companies are doing. And I don't think that GameStop would have gotten as much shit as it did had it just been, you know, enacting this.
Yeah, I mean, I stand by the idea that if GameStop did this in the first place, that it could have been a lot of goodwill for them. I've been saying that I imagine like they wanted to keep their stores open because they're still like GameStop is on their dying breath. They don't want to lose any business because they're out of here sooner than later. And, you know, it's probably like a pure business thing for them to stay open. That said,
that's shitty, you know, like that's,
I mean, it's shitty. It's not human. It's embarrassing. And if they did this in the first place, it could have been goodwill. It could have been us being like, man, look at good guy GameStop making the right moves.
I disagree with that. At this, even what we're talking about is too late for it being good guy. It's just like, you're just a human being at that point.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, like, I mean, for sure. Yeah. But like if they did this at first with the idea that they are providing their employees with paid time off who didn't have paid time or who weren't earning. Well, I guess if the employees weren't earning paid time off, they would then be paid for the few weeks. Mm-hmm. If they got out there with that messaging but just did that messaging just happens to come out through word of mouth, it wouldn't be the biggest like, oh, hey, good job, GameStop. But it would be like okay, cool. Like that's good of them, which is way better than what it's the conversation is now.
I feel like that would have been net zero, where it's just kind of like, that's just what you're expected to do in this type of situation. And that's evidenced by so many similar companies around them, right? But anyway, they're doing it now, which is good on them. They were kind of forced into it, which is not good on them. So here we are. We'll see where this goes, and we'll see how long GameStop can survive after this, if it even can. We'll see if GameSpot can survive with all the shit being talked about them accidentally from typos.
Oh yeah, it's the worst. Because every time I say GameSpot, I'm talking about GameStop. I just like imagine in my mind Michael Hyam just like frowning at me. It's a bummer.
Jared Petty tweeted talking shit about GameStop, and he said GameStop twice in the tweet, but he said GameSpot both times. Then he deleted that tweet, and he re-put it up to fix the typo, but he only fixed the first one. The endless struggle, guys.
Hey guys, we've all been there, all right? Let's all just be kind.
Number 4. Sony reportedly pulls Mario creation from Dreams after Nintendo complaint. This comes from Joseph Knoop at IGN. Sony is reportedly pulling a Super Mario creation from Dreams after Nintendo issued a complaint, according to a report from Go Nintendo via Eurogamer. Dreams player Piece of Craft took to Twitter to talk about their creation getting pulled from the game, alleging their Super Mario model, which is available for other players to use in their own Dreams creations, was taken down. Piece of Craft also stated that they received an email from SIE Europe that that said Nintendo had issued a complaint about their intellectual property being used in a Sony game. Piece of Craft's Mario model can be seen being used in other user creations. It's unclear if those creations have been impacted by Sony's decision to remove it. Piece of Craft followed up again by saying that they can no longer edit the Mario creation as it's been marked as removed due to copyright material. I quote, "I can remix it, but the original I can no longer edit, and others will not find or be able to use. Not too sure what will happen to the levels that use the Mario. I guess we'll have to wait and see. It's kind of like a slap on the wrist," end quote. Business attorney Richard Hogue of Hogue Law and Virtual Legality notes that this isn't an entirely unexpected development given Media Molecule's past with Little Big Planet, but the terms of service agreement appears to cover Sony on issues like this. Quote, "Nintendo is well within its legal rights here, but that doesn't necessarily make it a good business decision," Hogue said. Tim, was this a good decision by Nintendo?
No, because it's like at the end of the day, how much is this really going to affect them? Having said that, though, it's like, you know, from the legal side of this, sure, Nintendo owns the rights.
Like they can do it.
Yeah, I will say that I think the most interesting take on this that kind of like really puts my thoughts of this into some well said words was from Zach Ryan over at IGN. Zach was like really against Nintendo doing this, and someone's like, "Come on, Zach, you know how things work. I'm surprised by this take of Nintendo products should be fair game." And Zach replies, "I'm not saying that at all. Yes, Nintendo has a right and responsibility to protect their IP, but wonky fan tributes to Mario 64 don't warrant a fucking cease and desist. These are fans, artists, and kids trying to learn how to make games using something they know and love as a stepping stone." And someone replied, it was just like, "Why don't, yeah, but they don't need Mario to do that. Like, you can use some, like, to create something yourself." And Zach replied to that, "When you were a kid and learning to draw, were you drawing original characters first, or were you drawing SpongeBob or the Ninja Turtles?" And it's like, that to me is the interesting bit of this, where it's like, huh, like Mario is the definition of starter video game, right? So it's like being able to create that is kind of a stepping stone, is something that you would want to strive towards. So I don't know. I
agree fully with Zach. I understand the idea that Nintendo is fully within their right to do this. I think it's kind of bullshit that they are enacting it. Like, one, these are fan creations. Like, at a certain point, it's like, if I draw Mario on a notepad, like, Nintendo can't cease and desist me, right? Like, and I'm sure part of this comes from reports recently of Media Molecule doing their beta evaluation, which is a tool that's allowing creators to then export their creations outside of the game for further use, like outside of Dreams. I think that probably triggered something in Nintendo and made them go like, "We got to put a stop to this," because people aren't going to be able to use our IP freely if they're doing that. Mm-hmm. But one, the beta evaluation is supposed to be specifically for original creations, and then two, like, you just gotta let some things slide. Like, it's not that serious. As of now, people aren't making money off of Dreams creations, and so, like, if that's the case, then I think you should be cool. Like, people should be able to do what they want. Like, creativity is exactly what you said coming from Zach Ryan, right? Like, that's how people learn to be creative. That's why there's so many fan creations in Dreams right now, is because as a platform that's still kind of in its infancy, that is going to go a long way. Fan creations are going to go a long way into allowing people to learn the platform and find their creative vision and find their creative talent. So for Nintendo to come in and be like, "You can't use Mario," I like, it's within their right. I think it's kind of shitty. I don't like it.
Now, you know, business side of me, there is the other side where I'm like, I feel like you just need to then have a unilateral take on this, where it's just like, it's not that they went after Dreams, it's that they're not allowing it anywhere, no matter what. And like, that sucks, but also I feel like that would explain this a little bit more. And also, knowing Nintendo, that's probably the case. Like, I don't think that this was like a targeted thing. It's just more like, no, we don't allow this anywhere. So we need to not let it happen here, or else why wouldn't we let it happen anywhere else, right?
Yeah. I think it's interesting also that it's only happening with this Mario model. And I wonder if that has to do with Mario Maker, like people being able to make their own Mario levels in that game. Maybe that's why they're going, because there's like a bunch of Zelda stuff and like a bunch of other a bunch of other Nintendo stuff going on in Dreams. So the fact that they're going after like this Mario thing specifically, like, I just find it kind of weird.
I mean, I'm sure it's just the the gates are open now, right? It's just I don't think that they went in and like were searching for Nintendo stuff and saw the Mario and were like, nah, I'm sure it was brought to their attention, that one specific thing, and they're like, oh no. I'm sure if the other things were brought to attention, it'd be similar.
The nanobiologist writes in, Tim, and says, hi, blessing Tim. Nintendo is going after Dreams creators for creating and using a very good Mario model. Do you think this opens Nintendo up for the same litigation in pursuit of copyright? Over the weekend, I've seen so many people playing Animal Crossing create and use art, album covers, and other things from all kinds of games, music, artists, and YouTubers. So, is this going to be a double-edged sword that Nintendo is unsheathing as we are getting more and more into games that let creators create whatever they want? Thanks, the nanobiologist. That's another thing for me too, is like we've seen like a lot of fan art made in Animal Crossing. But even further, as somebody who's really into Super Smash Brothers, if you go on like the created levels and like the created like the Mii costumes and all that stuff, the fan created ones, actually not Mii costumes, but like the Mii creations.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like IP usage there that is not Nintendo IP. Like, you can go and make I guess Undertale is actually officially in Smash Brothers now, but like before Undertale was in Smash Brothers, I had like a sans character from Undertale Mii outfit that was made by somebody in Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. There was also like there's also tons of SpongeBob levels that people make in Smash, like stuff that Nintendo doesn't own, but that is being similarly user created in the same way that Dreams creations are.
The thing there is like it's somebody needs to tell them no, right? It's just like it needs to be brought, not needs to, but in order for it to not be there, someone would have to be like, hey, they're using your shit, and then those people would need to be like, hey, stop using our shit. Right? It's like when it comes to these type of creation tools, like it's impossible to police all of it, but I'm sure if it was up to majority of these IP owners, they wouldn't allow it anywhere.
I just don't like it. Just let it happen.
It's a slippery slope, though, man. I know, like, this is not like the opinion of this. Like, it's like oh, how come my kids?
You're cutting out, Tim. Can you say that again?
It reminds me a lot of YouTube videos where people are like, oh, how come I can't use whatever song I want in these videos? It's like whatever the hell the term is, and fair use. And it's like, no, it's not fair use. Like, you don't know what you're talking about saying that. Like, you're literally just using excuses to be able to do the thing you want. And it's like, that is problematic. And it's all the slippery slope of it. You need to ask permission to use other people's things. Like, really, that's what it comes down to, is you can't just steal people's shit and use it. Right.
Yeah.
But you can, until you get caught, until someone tells you to stop. That doesn't make it okay.
I feel like, I just feel like there's a difference between, and legally there isn't, but theoretically, between like doing like a cover song or even like using somebody else's music in like a video or in a Dreams creation, I feel like there's a difference between that and then recreating something. Granted, this Mario creation apparently is just so spot on that Nintendo had to do something about it. But
with the music stuff, though, it's like the idea that like the fight that hip hop's been fighting for decades now of remixing and sampling. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like you need to clear samples legally or else you're going to get in trouble for it. So many people don't do that. And then they get in trouble for it.
I feel like that's a different conversation, though, because sampling, you're literally using that person's product within your product and just editing it, which I know is like in theory. What's the
point I'm making? Slippery slope. The point I'm making is, why is this okay and that's not okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I feel like that is the reason that people are so strict about this, is because if you give a mouse a cookie.
Wait, what happens if you give a mouse a cookie?
They want a lot more cookies. They'll keep coming
back. He eats the cookie.
It's a book. Bless. Get educated, what book is okay? This? Read a fucking book.
What is this? Is this Oliver Twist?
It's called If You Give a Mouse a Cookie.
I don't think I've heard of this book.
It's like a book you read to like 4 or 5 year olds.
There's also a sequel, If You Give a Moose a Muffin. It's not a joke.
That one's nasty.
The amount of like years that were turning in my head when you said You Give a Mouse a Cookie, I like legit sat and thought like, what is that? Like, are you at crumbs? Like, what, Tim? I'm so excited to see what happens when you give a mouse a cookie. Mm-hmm. Well, that's so far away when that mouse is gonna finally get that cookie from me. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do, yeah. Out today, we got The Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 3 for PC, Half-Life Alyx for PC, VR only, Bug Academy for Switch, Rhythm of the Gods for Switch and PC, YOLO Mike for PC,
okay, Shield Wall. What the hell is YOLO Mike?
Yeah, Kev. I know you can't. I know it might be difficult because you have to switch around the things.
We don't need that. We're not going to need to see shit. Remember when you said that? And I was like, I don't
Listen,
know.
Listen, we
pull up stuff. All, I'm already on it. You won't be able to hear it, though, maybe. I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see.
I'm on it.
Shield Wall for PC. Fill All for PC. Pirates for PC. Let me say that again because I don't know if I put the right inflection on that. Pirates for PC. It's Pirates ! Then Pirates ! Reventure is out now for iOS and Android. And then for new dates, we have Dread Nautical, which is coming to PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and Epic Game Store on April 29th, 2020. And then the Peaceful Survival Sandbox, Among Trees, is coming to Epic Game Store this summer. Kevin,
This is YOLO Mike. What the fuck?
I don't get it.
Oh, you can't see it because it's cropped, but there's like a... Yeah, it's... Sorry. Hold on. Let me uncrop it on here for you guys.
No, I can see. Wait.
No, is no, because no, it's like a window. Oh, shit.
Whoa.
Like, look. At the bottom, there's like the Windows logo and...
Oh, so you're playing on a computer.
I don't know. I can restart it if you'd like.
No, it's all good.
This is making me really uncomfortable, cool. though, if I'm being totally no. honest.
You can turn it up. Oh, no. Oh, wow. Video watchers are getting a treat because you're seeing all behind the curtains. Deal of the day, Anakin JMT writes in and says, I've got a deal of the day for you guys. Right now, Death Stranding is $30 at both Amazon and Walmart. If you get it from Walmart, you can arrange for them to bring it to you in your car and put it in your car while you stay inside. Remember, everyone, stay safe. Thank you, Anakin JMT. Now it's time. Also, Kevin, are you muted? Because I think I might have heard you sigh.
Yeah, for a second there, I was in my... You know what I mean, guys? We're taking it out. We're getting close, though. You know what I mean? All right, I'm gonna go. Oh,
heavy breathing in the back.
We're having great times on this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily. Now it's time for reader mail. You can write in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Quip. Quip, makers of the Quip electric toothbrush, wants you to know the one single discovery that matters most for your dental care. It's simply this: if you have good habits, you're good. That means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day and flossing regularly, no matter what brand you use. Quip makes that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric brush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide a full, even clean. The Quip floss dispenser comes with pre-marked string to help you use just enough. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush head, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping, so your routine is always right. Join over 3 million healthy mouths and get Quip today, starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games, spelt getquip.com/games. Quip, the good habits company. We're also brought to you by ExpressVPN. Okay, so we all know how ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security online, right? But here's something you might not know. You can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are available in other countries. Now that so many of us are stuck at home, it's only a matter of time until you run out of good stuff to watch on Netflix. So this whole week, folks have been using ExpressVPN to binge shows like Doctor Who on UK Netflix and others. It's so simple to do. I just fire up the ExpressVPN app, change my location to the UK, refresh Netflix, and that's it. ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries. So just think about all the Netflix libraries you can go through. Love anime? Use ExpressVPN to access Japanese Netflix and be spirited away. But it's not just Netflix. Whoa. Be in a moving castle of Netflix.
I love this.
ExpressVPN works with any streaming service as Hulu, BBC, iPlayer, YouTube, you just name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason you should use ExpressVPN to watch shows is it's ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag, and you can stream in HD no problem. ExpressVPN is also compatible with all your devices, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and more. So you can watch what you want on a personal device or on the big screen wherever you are. If you visit my special link right now, that's at expressvpn.com/games, you can get an extra month of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show, watch what you want, and protect yourself with ExpressVPN at expressvpn.com/games.
Do it.
Tim.
Yes.
Marley Nito writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, "Hey, Bless and Tim. Everybody is talking about the PS5 being less powerful, but one thing people seem to forget is that Xbox plans to have their games playable on the old Xbox One, which means they'll have to make the games playable on the older hardware with their limitations, having the long elevator rides and such. Sony, on the other hand, explained that with their new tech, they'll be able to design games as they envisioned and not be constrained by the slow hard drives of older generations. What do you think about this different approach? I hope everybody has time to play their backlog of games. Marley Nito."
I don't think that it's going to negatively affect Xbox too much, but I do think that every time that we see a exclusive tied to a platform that is being developed purely for that platform, the game turns out to be better. Like it gets all those like little bells and whistles get ticked off the checklist in a way that I don't think we really see when things need to be kind of like lowest common denominator. Having said that, I think that Xbox has been planning for this for a long enough time. And as we've seen with the PS4 and Xbox One X incremental generation updates that we got this gen, that it really kind of is sliders. It really is, here's the base version, and it's kind of like not old school, just PC gaming, where it's just like, cool, what quality are we going here? You know, like, are we going for performance? Or are we going for resolution? And you kind of just have more options to take the same core game and just make it look prettier and fancier.
Yeah, I think like I don't think there's anything wrong with like the different approaches. I think most of it really actually just comes down to messaging. Microsoft probably could have talked about some of the similar things that Mark Cerny talked about when it comes to SSD and how that's going to affect how you design your game. Like elevator load screens and like those ways of hiding load being an example. That said, really this is only going to last like for Microsoft, right? It's only going to last like a year or so while games are still coming out on both. Well, first party games are still coming out on both Xbox One and Xbox Series X.
We'll see, at a certain point.
Do you think at the end of the generation we're still going to have games coming out on Xbox One?
Perhaps not the end of the generation, but I think it's going to be longer.
Really? You think it's going to be... Wait, say that again because you cut out for a second.
Yeah, I think it's going to be longer than a year. I think by the end of the generation we'll begin the exclusives, but I don't know. It's, again, a little too early to tell right now, but yeah. I do think that Xbox is committing to the Xbox One, some version of it at least. Maybe the S will be the minimum and like the older one doesn't work anymore, but I think they're committing to the vision. I believe in their minds they'd want every game to be compatible forever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I feel like that comes back to the whole console generations thing and our console generations going away. I'm not necessarily a believer yet that console generations are going away anytime soon, because at a certain point you're going to want your games to take advantage of the technology in ways that previous generations just can't handle. And so like,
I don't know, you know, man, like Xbox so far has been really good about taking older games, giving them the new fancy tech, right? And it's just like, I think that now that what that means and looks like is kind of just adding 4K and, you know,
but like that's backwards compatibility. Like right here, we're talking about like forward compatibility, which I think is a whole different ball of worms. And like to Marley Nito's question here, right? Like, I feel like at a certain point, if you're designing a game to take advantage of the technical aspects of the newer consoles, you kind of got to cut it off at some point. Like, you kind of got to be like, all right, this isn't going to work on Xbox One because we can't make it work on Xbox One because this is taking advantage of the SSD or this is taking advantage of things that are unique to this console. Mm-hmm. And I just think like, I don't want to say it's all talk because I don't think it's all talk. I think Microsoft truly does believe in the idea that generations are going to mold together more and more as technology gets more advanced. But I think at a certain point, like, things are just going to get left behind in the dust. Like, I think it happens with all technology. Like, there are applications on our phones. We think about our phones in the same way, and there are applications that I can run on my current phone that wouldn't run on my earlier phones. Same with PC.
But with that, though, I think that the phone thing is the most accurate, like, one for one thing we're going to see. Whereas iPhone came out, eventually we move up, we got the iPhone, and we got the, you know, we kept going with the numbers. And it wasn't until, like, I don't remember off the top of my head, but let's just use this as an example. It wasn't until, like, the iPhone 7 that you started getting the messages that are like, these apps are only going to be available on iPhone 4 or above, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I feel like we're going to get a lot longer of a lead there, where I can imagine it's like the Xbox One is not compatible, but the One S is still compatible and the One X is still compatible. And like, it'll be a long time before we see those kind of go away. And even then, I don't think it'll be every game.
But I feel like it's different, though, because games are, or because phones are yearly, because phones are like a thing that, like, they iterate on the iPhones very quickly in a way that consoles are here for, let's say, like 7 years, right? If you just talk about like a base console, or if we like include like the incremental upgrades, right? 3 or 4 years, however you want to put it. At that point, you are creating a piece of technology that is such a leap forward than the previous thing. Like, Xbox Series X is gonna be so much more powerful than Xbox One or Xbox One X. Like, I forget the exact teraflopage they said, but the jump is from 6 to 12 teraflops, right? Like, that's big enough to make a difference right there. Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't know for sure, because I'm not a game developer, but the way they've spoken about it, they've made it seem like that's big enough right there for a substantial difference in how you can go about designing your games.
Here's the thing. Like, I feel like we have not seen any evidence that Xbox is treating this differently than they've treated the Xbox One X. They are trying to build, like, they're saying messages, like, they're obviously trying to make it sound like it's a next-gen product, right? But really, if you take away that and just look at, like, how they're talking about this and what they're announcing, this is very similar to when they announced the One X. Hey, it's the most powerful thing. This is where you're going to want to play the games, because it's the most powerful.
I mean, right? I'd say they're treating it with more, like, they're doing more around it, right? So we had the Game Awards reveal. We had them come out at E3 like they did with the One X. But then you're having, like, the blogs from Xbox, I forget what it was called, Xbox Wire, Xbox News, or whatever, where they're talking about the different features that this thing is going to have in a way that feels way deeper than something like the One X. And it
feels like an iterative thing from that. I mean, you're right in terms of our gen. I'm just saying, in terms of what does that actually mean for the games, I don't think it's going to mean that much. I really think that, yes, like, just like PCs, eventually you're not going to be able to play the new game because your PC just can't run it. I think these game consoles are going to become more similar to PCs than they ever have been, especially on the Xbox side.
I think that's what Xbox kind of wants, but especially with them right now in competition with PlayStation. Like, Mark Cerny went up there last week and said that he's a believer in generations, and with PlayStation 5 being the competition for third parties specifically, like, third party games are going to come out exclusively for next gen. Because PS5, like, if PS5 or if Sony isn't doing that for PS5 and PS4, where they're trying to make everything homogenous and everything one, then third parties kind of have no, like, they have no need to, like, really curate to the idea that we have to make our games for both the previous generation consoles and the current generation consoles, if it's not like a thing that's like mandated.
That means that even on PlayStation, the games are going to be the lowest common denominator to be able to be played on Xbox. That sucks, but like, that's, I feel like that's the world we're heading towards. And that's why we'll see PlayStation exclusives take full advantage of all these features and be spectacular games.
Mm-hmm. I think that's only a, like, 2 years thing, though. Like, I can't see us hitting year 3 or 4 and us getting... That's the
thing. 3 or 4 is where I'm like, all right, maybe. But 1 year, I don't...
Okay. I can see it. I can buy that.
Yeah. I don't know. This reminds me a lot of when the PS4 Pro and Xbox One X were being talked about, and the amount of people that are just like, this is going to totally divide developers' time. It's going to fuck everybody. And it didn't at all. Like the same games work on both versions, and they just work better on the other. And I think that we're just going to see more of that on the Xbox side, because that's the direction they're going, and that's what they've been building towards.
Tim, now it's time to squat up. The Nail Biologist writes in with a sort of a squat up success story. This isn't a squat up. This is really just an update on the kind of funny social distancing Smash tournament that happened over the weekend. Nail Biologist writes, follow up from the kind of funny social distancing Smash tournament. We had 63 signups, and after 5 hours of streaming, smashing, and fundraising, DePunked took the first prize. Plus, we raised $267 for at Save the Children. Thank you to everyone who signed up, watched, donated, and played in the tournament. We are absolutely planning more community tournaments in the future, just like this one. Special shout outs, of course, to all the community leaders for helping organizing, getting the word out, and running the entire event, especially Kyle, Mitch, and Austin for moving people around, and my fellow commentators, Frankfurter and Mr. Penguin Von Penguin, as well as our special guest host for the finals, Kevin Ace X. This is truly the best community on the planet. Just want to give that a shout out. Shout out to everybody who made that happen. I think that's an awesome thing, especially for the time that we're in. I'm hoping to see more of that going on, because that fun event. Really cool stuff. I wanted to sign up, but I ended up getting preoccupied with Animal Crossing New Horizons. That game really kind of took things over for me.
You got nooks.
It's been wild. I got nooks, man. I own a bunch of bells. It's crazy. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong to see what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Let's see here. Chavanta X says, Half-Life Alyx can be played on any PC headset, Oculus Quest using Link included. The reason it's not on Quest natively is due to the processing power required to run it. Same reason it's not on PSVR. There's a little bit editorializing toward the end of that, because I'm sure Sony could get some kind of deal with them to make it work. But yeah, Quest has a different library than PC VR, which is why it's not on there natively. Charles Jacobson said, Tim said Nintendo did their IPs the right way on Switch. I honestly have not heard a word about Super Kirby Clash since the day they announced and released it. So I'd argue maybe that's one mess up.
Was that even a core Kirby game?
I've never heard of Super Kirby Clash. Also, that's not a you're wrong.
Yeah.
CG the second says headcrab bless is a headcrab. Facehuggers are alien. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Kebab says, regarding Joey and Godzilla. What a sentence. Regarding Joey and Godzilla, in New Horizons, you can get random presents floating in via balloons that you can shoot down. They're entirely randomly selected, so she probably got it that way.
Kebabs says, the functionality to export creations doesn't exist in Dreams yet. I know, I was talking about the beta evaluation, which we talked about recently on KFGD, which is a way in which you can interact with your Dreams off-platform. See here. That seems like it's it. Everything else here, it looks like it's
editorializing
a whole lot of editorializing. We remember kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
Hold on. We're getting a phone call.
What?
Hello.
Hey, Tim. I have a you're wrong for what a you're wrong. I don't know. I'm not really paying attention to the show. I got my Godzilla because it was in my one of the things I could buy with my Nook Miles in the resident services little terminal thing shop. It was just there. Also there, a giant Transformer thing, which I may also buy now that I have my
whoa.
I'm Power Rangers dressed up, and it looks like the
we're all very proud of you, Joey. I'm happy you have the Godzilla. You're cooler than everyone else.
Joey, am I ever gonna get
thank you. Okay, bye.
Joey, why doesn't she just come down? She's upstairs.
Because she could just call and it's over with.
That's easier. I tried to visit Joey's island over the weekend. She had a whole party going on, and 7 out of the 8 slots on her island that she could have people over for were filled. And I was trying to be that 8th slot, and I tried to join, and for some reason it didn't work.
Dude,
and so I'm sad about it.
Having not played
very sad about it.
Having not fully understood what this franchise is ever in my life. I love seeing all the tweets where I know Greg's been playing Joey's been playing, and all of a sudden Altano's been playing, and for some reason I all I see is Greg being very angry on Twitter, yelling at people to open the gates, like give him the apricots or whatever. I'm like, what the fuck are you guys talking about here? Like, why are there walls being set up, and why do some people?
I think they're peaches is what he wants, and
he wants the peaches.
Yeah. Like,
apparently, but why does Altano have the peaches?
Because each island, you have a different.
Why would he share his goddamn peaches?
You have a different. Like, each island has like a fruit for the island, I believe. Because I'm only growing pears on my trees. And let me tell you, man, I'm all about these pears. The pears are great. God. This week's hosts are Tuesday. It's me and Imran.
Hold on, we got another call coming in.
Oh, another one.
Hello.
Hey Tim.
Hey, what's up, Andy?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing, dude?
I'm good, man. You're live on Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Oh, cool. Well, I was going to call Blessing, but I realized that Blessing's so
diverse. Nobody does. Nobody does.
I was going to say, you can come to my island anytime. Bless, you're invited, bro. You're invited. I got tons of pears. I got tons of peaches.
Oh, thank you, Andy.
How did you get both?
Hey, how do you have both? Huh?
How'd you get the peaches and the pears?
I'm an influencer, dude.
Holy shit.
Whoa, holy shit. That's wild.
All right, well, you. Thank you, Eddie. Later. Bye.
That's crazy.
I love this.
Wait, hold up. I'm getting a call now. Hello. Hold up. I can't hear you. Hold up. Hello.
I haven't seen anything yet.
Greg Miller, is that you?
That's me, Blessing. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. Yeah, I'm glad, first off, that Joey was able to call in and correct the Godzilla thing, because I was yelling at Kevin on Discord to call me in on the thing right now so I could set the record straight, but he said we didn't have that kind of technology. Secondly, Tim, why won't Brian Altano open the gate? It's because he's a time-traveling cheater, as we've all learned the hard way, and that is no way to play Animal Crossing is to cheat in time travel. And then thirdly, I have all the fruit now. I've had it Friday, so nobody worry about me and my peaches anymore. I got a whole orchard of peaches. Blessing, any fruit you need, you let me know. I'll bring it over.
Oh, sweet. I'm in.
Okay.
Sweet. Thank you, Greg.
No problem. Bye.
Have a good one. I also got a text from Kevin saying I do, and I don't know what that means.
I was saying I have your number. Because you were like, no, and I said I do.
Oh, God.
Oh, shoot. We have good times here on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Again, this week's host, tomorrow, it's me and Imran. Wednesday, it's Greg Miller and Gary Whitta. Thursday, it's me and Tim again. And then Friday, it's Greg Miller and it's your boy, Blessing Eddie. Oh, yeah, that's me. Gamescast this week, of course, our Half-Life Alyx review is up right now featuring Greg Miller and Daniel Dwyer. Did Daniel Dwyer say that it's a Game of the Year contender? You'll have to watch it.
You'll have to find out.
Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.
Wrong way, Bless. Oh.
Oh, I forgot we're supposed
blessing's
to...
the wrong way. There it is.
There we go.
There it is.
Yeah. It's because I have a wall. No, I also, get it. That's weird.
We're going to go.